Well, KiwiSaver annual statements will be arriving in the mail for members, but they'll contain a little more information this year. For the first time, KiwiSaver members will be able to see a projection of how much they might have in their account by the time they reach 65. And what that means is a weekly payment in retirement. Just over $57 billion was invested in KiwiSaver funds for the 2019 period, with members up 3% to 2.9 million. But the Financial Markets Authority has pushed for the inclusion of these projections to help KiwiSaver members to consider what more they could be doing to improve their projected balance. Our guest is Liam Mason, FMA's Director of Regulation. Good morning.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. A lot of KiwiSavers taking a hit at the moment, of course, and we'll come back and talk more about how to manage times like these. But first, why has the FMA been pushing for more detail on these statements?
Well, as you said, it's a simple change, but the truth is it's really hard to imagine what today's contributions and savings are going to mean in terms of your retirement and your retirement outcomes. And we think that this simple change is going to make it a lot more real for people, because for the first time you can see what your balance is going to translate into in terms of a lump sum, in terms of weekly income, if you retire at 65.
So just, well, you've given some examples to us, because the different providers can lay out the statement any which way they like. But what essentially will you see? Give an example of what someone might see on their statement now vis-a-vis what they'll get when they're 65.
Sure. So what you see in your statement is today's balance in your KiwiSaver account. But now, for the first time, what you also see is your projected balance at retirement, and that's in today's dollar terms. So that's adjusted for inflation between now and when you retire. The lump sum that you expect to get if you carry on your current track, and with a number of assumptions that are built in, and also what that'll give you in terms of a weekly income from when you retire at 65 to the age of 90.
So the example I've got here, which is on AMP letterhead, and they've got these nice and clear and up front, your projected KiwiSaver balance at retirement for this example, $257,000 lump sum at age 65, which gives you an income of about $210 a week until 90. And others lay it out slightly differently, but that's the one big change.
That's the main message in there, yep.
It also shows what the contributions have been, what the investment return has been, what fees, tax and withdrawals are, and what the closing balance is in this case. Is that standard as well? Are all providers now also required to show clearly what fees have been deducted?
Yeah, and that's a change that came in a little while ago, and that puts your fees into dollar terms as well, and that makes them more real for people. There are a number of things on the statement that can prompt you to think about whether you're on track. Obviously, there's now that headline projection. You can look at the contributions you're making. Ask yourself, are you in a position where you can change those, where you can increase those? Now, at the moment, a lot of people might not be, but that's something that can then go in the mix further on. You can also ask yourself, are you happy with those fees? And then use tools like the Smart Investor website or our own KiwiSaver tracker to compare the fees that you're paying in this fund with others you might pay in a different fund.
So that has been a long battle, actually, and is it a significant change that there is now the requirement for your provider to show the fees you pay and also the ability for you to compare with other funds?
Yeah, that's right, because what we know is that just seeing fees in percentage terms, that We tend to minimise them. It looks like a very small number. It's only when you see that, gosh, this is as much as my phone bill or something like that, that it starts to become more real.
Are the providers also required to be clear about the type of fund you're in and or the investment strategy you're in? On the statements, I see some doing it voluntarily, saying investment strategy, you are in a balanced fund or you are in a growth fund. Are they required to be clear about that in the statement?
So you should see that in your statement. You should also see that in your fund updates, in the fund updates that the providers all publish, which talk about the different funds that they offer. Your own statement is about the particular investments that you're in, yeah.
But are they required to point out the type of fund that you are in, whether it's growth or balanced, conservative, whatever?
Yeah, they tell you in the statement, yes, how your funds are invested.
Why do you believe the shift to having the projected amount and weekly payment at age 65 is so important?
Well, because KiwiSaver is such a long-term investment, it is hard for us to picture what our small contributions today will add up to in 40 or 30 years' time. And this change just puts that in front of you. It says that the sacrifice you're making today for your future is going to pay off in this way. And that's an opportunity. It's a great opportunity to ask yourself, am I happy with what that's looking like? If I take into account other savings, if I take into account New Zealand Super, is that giving me the picture that I want for my retirement? And if not, it's a great opportunity to be thinking about any changes you can make to help yourself.
Interestingly, on these two sample statements, because we're in the times we're in, the person receiving them, they're an imaginary person, but the person who might be receiving them, mm-hmm, is being told you have lost X amount. That's a 0.4% rate of return after fees but before tax. What is the message around the fact that KiwiSaver balances will be taking a hit at the moment and some types of funds will be taking an even bigger hit?
Look, it's a shock for people when they, particularly if they check the KiwiSaver balance online. This is going to be the first period for many that they're seeing those balances go down. And the absolutely single most important message is stay the course. This is a long-term investment. And markets are expected to go up and expected to go down over the long run. They play out in terms of the projections that are there.
What is the position of the KiwiSaver funds in dollar cost averaging, which is the practice of buying aggressively when prices are down, when values are down, and therefore the theory is when they recover, you earn significantly more because you have purchased more. Do most funds engage in dollar cost averaging practices?
So they all depend entirely on the investment strategy of the fund. Some are active and will look for opportunities in the market like that. Some are passive and will look to track what the market is doing.
So it is not a universal practice among KiwiSaver providers?
No, and that's something that is one of the choices you have in KiwiSaver is whether you go into an active fund where they should lay out their investment strategy. They'll be looking for the best opportunity, looking to specifically beat a benchmark, and they'll have a range of strategies that they use for that. Others will say, well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give you the same return as a particular market index, and we're going to do everything we can to stay at that level. And they're deliberately, if you like, not trying to beat it.
What can people learn about the advantage of one over the other?
There's quite a debate about the advantages of one over the other. We've been doing a piece of work at the moment that we'll be talking about a little more in about a month, looking at the costs of active versus passive funds. And the theory goes that if your fund is passive, you should be paying less in fees. And those who promote the passive fund say in the long run, it'll come out the same. Those promoting the active fund say, no, we can do better. And you charge more for that activity. What we're trying to find out is, are those who are charging more actually doing more? And are those who are doing less charging less?
It all plays in, doesn't it, to the balance between people getting as much information as they can or the risk of people zoning out. And is this where, yep, in your view, what you're pushing through on the statements are the main sort of pieces of information you hope will prompt people to be more curious, to learn more?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Catherine. And putting it into dollar terms, not percentages, and building in a lot of assumptions. You can go to our website and you can see exactly what those assumptions are if you're curious. But what we know is that we want to take advantage of opportunities for decision making, And when that statement arrives in your mailbox, it's a great time to take a look at it and ask yourself, is this working for me? And hopefully the information that's put in there, which is bundled up all in one place, is now going to give you the tools you need to start out asking those questions.
The other big issue was switching, and we've discussed this before, and some advocates have said, because the default funds, there's a small number of large institutions that benefit, quite frankly, from being default funds, and people who sign up for KiwiSaver choosing between them and frequently staying with them and staying in the default fund as well. And there was an advocacy to say, look, at a certain point, there should be a prompt for people either to review and move into a more suitable fund, either a different provider or a more suitable fund within the provider, perhaps a more aggressive provider, a more aggressive fund, or indeed the government should just walk in and move people automatically. Some went so far to say. How much switching are we seeing now, either between funds within a provider or between providers? Is there much movement or not?
Well, a couple of things there. In last year's KiwiSaver report, we said we were much happier now with the efforts that KiwiSaver providers were making to get default members engaged and get them thinking about whether they should be moving to another fund. Now, just recently, we've seen a lot of switching for a completely different reason, and that was around the market volatility that we saw, particularly in March and April. And we did see a reasonable amount of KiwiSaver members move from growth funds into either balanced or conservative funds as they became worried about what was going on in the markets.
So we're seeing some growth and switching, but enough, do you believe?
In terms of the default, we'd always like it to be better. And one of the things that has come out of this is the government is reviewing the KiwiSaver default arrangements and consulted on this last year. One of the questions being raised is, should we really have the default fund as conservative as they are at the moment? What we've learned is that there's a certain point where it's pretty hard to engage with some default members, and that brings in the question of whether we should be putting them in a different place to start with.
Could you do this by age? And is it as blunt as doing it by age, that if you are a certain age when you sign up, you go into a more aggressive fund than if you're older?
That was one of the options that was put up for consultation. Another is to put default members into a more balanced fund, which is a bit of everything for everyone. And that's a simpler way to go. But an alternative was something like a life stages.
It is a simpler way to go, but if you're 20, it's probably going to cost you tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars by your retirement.
And that's why it will still be, from our point of view, really important that default providers put effort into engaging those default members and helping them to think about fund choice and think about where they want to be for their long term.
How can they be made to? What would be the prompt for it? An automatic review at a certain age, and some definite demonstrated efforts to have got an answer out of someone?
Yeah, we want to, and we have been putting pressure on the providers, and when the review comes through, that's something that we'll be looking at much harder this time, is making sure that we've got the tools in there so that we can have specific prompts for the providers to be putting the effort in.
Here's a question from a listener. Are you able to ask the KiwiSaver speaker what he advises for self-employed on low incomes? When you don't have an employer making contributions on your behalf, it can be a tough call to put limited funds towards KiwiSaver. Not sure if it's in your purview, but do you have a comment?
It's not hugely. And that can be really tough. One thing to look for is particularly to try and put in the minimum amount to get the government tax credit, because that essentially gives you a boost up from the government. And that can be done as a lump sum. It doesn't have to be done regularly, or it can be done as part of a regular contribution. So that's perhaps the first milestone or threshold to look for if you're struggling to keep that going, but you want to get the discipline in, and it's give yourself a bit of a helping hand from the government.
On the question of advice and the different types of advisors, some of whom have connections to particular providers or to a bank, and others who are entirely independent. If you're trying to seek good advice and you want it to be independent, how do you know who to go to?
Well, we've had a push for all of the KiwiSaver providers, the bank providers, the non-bank providers, to get more advice out to their members, particularly over the last few months as the markets were very volatile, and we know that all providers had a big uptick in inquiries and worried KiwiSaver investors asking questions. We've been very keen for all of the firms to give good, simple advice to customers to help them to make decisions about where to go.
You're keen, but again, how can someone seeking independent advice along the lines this person is asking know what they're getting? Is it made clear what any affiliations are?
Yeah, if you go to a get advice from a bank, it's going to be made clear to you that you're only going to be getting advice around that bank's products. Now, that can still be very helpful too. If you want to get independent advice, the best thing to do is to find an authorised financial advisor and talk to them.
AFA will be the qualification, the branding they have.
That's the one to go for, yep.
Thank you, Liam Mason, FMA's Director of Regulation.